Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Tonight's video is about a DNR surveyor and his colleague that are being stalked by these creatures in the middle of the woods at their cabin. And this is what happens. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Zach, I know some of the stories you narrate are fictional and some are not. I want to assure you that this story, my story, is one that I wish was the former, but unfortunately, it is all too real. What I witnessed, what I experienced, will never leave me feeling the same again. I've lost any sense of security I had in my solitude, and cannot bear to be outdoors after dark. I live in a small town now. Living in the city would be impossible, having spent all my life out in the quieter parts of the state. I feel claustrophobic already, but more importantly, safe. It all started last winter, when my coworker decided he wanted a taste of the backcountry life. I worked as a surveyor at the DNR in my area, which is particularly large compared to the norm and more remote than usual. I've always had a love for self-sufficiency and survival skills, so I would generally be tasked with working with tougher terrain than the general staff in my department. I've had quite a lot of experience hunting, so in my time, I'd been sent to accompany others in places where they would be at risk of their own for one reason or another, and occasionally I did enjoy the company. This colleague in particular, we'll name him Bill for privacy's sake, was one of the rare folk I could tolerate for more than a day at a time, and in spite of my preferred isolated staff of being, I found myself agreeing to accompany him on a fishing trip in a relatively nearby national park. I had no experience canoeing and fishing. I preferred walking whenever I could, but the few days went by fast, and found myself glad I had pushed myself out into my less comfortable zone and joined Bill. On the last day of our trip, unfortunately, the weather turned with storms bearing in on us from the north and the east, threatening ice and snow to my displeasure. I found myself offering to let Bill crash at my pad until conditions cleared enough for him to safely travel 100-plus miles to his own. He accepted, and with that, we bunkered in for the time being until the weather improved. Just to paint the picture clearer, my place was a little unusual. More of a large cabin than a house, my place was modeled after the typical prefabricated holiday homes you see everywhere these days. But the difference being that I built it myself over the years and added on to it with time. It was clean, sparsely decorated just how I liked it, and solid as a rock. It sits in the middle of a small clearing, down a dirt track that branches off of a back road in the middle of nowhere. I grew a variety of fresh produce, and fished and trapped what I could to minimize trips to my hometown. Where I am now, from years living alone, I had been self-sufficient of having company. Bill, however, loved it and kept on explaining how jealous he was of my refuge, as he called it. He was good company for me in the sense that he was happy to keep himself mostly and spent most of his time on the porch reading, smoking, and watching the snow gather all around. The change in routine for me was interesting, but I found myself keeping later hours, as I stayed up long after Bill would turn in for the night, to have some true alone time in the peace of the night. It's this little change of routine that had left me wondering if the events that I had experienced could have happened at any time, or like Bill, had the turn in the weather brought on something out of the ordinary. I don't think I'll ever know, but I don't want to talk much about it to anyone and figured your channel would be a good place to share the story. I'm no longer in touch with Bill. He has relocated to another country, and it's not exactly like I'm the type to reach out and talk it out anyways. It all started like this, with my urge to find solace late into the night so I could just be alone. I would wait Bill out after he would go to bed. I would take over the watch of the porch, taking in the peace that came with the deepening snow. The woods around us became quieter than ever. In the cold, bright nights, the sky was more full of stars than I could even remember seeing before. The Milky Way was the clearest and brightest I think I had ever seen in my lifetime, and the band of light it struck across the sky felt like it illuminated the clearing more than the moon ever had. I remember checking my watch and thinking it was late enough even for me, and decided to turn in myself. I went back into the cabin, which opens into the living room / dining area, and seeing the fire getting low, deciding to throw a few more logs on and keep the back boiler going through the night to avoid a frosty start again. This meant heading back out into the cold to bring in a few more cuts of wood in, and having already shed my layer down to a less than ideal amount, I had to be quick. Just as I turned the head out, a figure caught my attention out of the corner of my eye and startled. I spun to see Bill, wide-eyed and waving at me to get my attention. Picking up on his distress, I looked at him, waiting for him to explain, and a little frustrated already with him intruding on my quiet. I gestured at him to hurry up and explain himself. He moved closer, slowly, keeping one eye on the black rectangle of the window, until he was so close, I felt like pushing him back. Bill, still watching the window, whispered to me, asking if there really wasn't anybody living nearby, that someone was outside. I frowned and I told him it was highly unlikely. The nearest town was nearly 30 miles away, and the nearest house was at least half that distance. I did admit, though, that sometimes the dark and isolation would play tricks on you, and at times I could swear I wasn't always as alone out here as I thought. His eyes widened a little after that, and I felt a little guilty. I explained it was very probable that he saw a deer come down from the hills to the woods here for shelter from the snow as we did. He shook his head and his shoulders dropped a little, and he looked me straight in the eye, telling me that it wasn't a deer that he had seen. It was a man in a very large build at that. On edge, he quietly moved to the window and peered out into the back of the clearing. I noticed he kept a good distance back and sensing the opportunity, I turned off the lights and tried not to laugh as Bill jumped and ducked at the same time, dropping below the window frame before crawling straight into the couch. Expletives and insults flew my way and unperturbed. I was quickly out the door to get a few logs to keep the fire ticking over as I had planned before Bill had shown up raving. Now that I was outside, I shivered, wearing only a shirt and a thin jumper this time, and I decided to be quick about things. I moved around to the side of the house, enjoying the crunch of my boots in the freshly fallen snow, and stopped under the little awning I had built to shelter the firewood from the elements. It had darkened considerably since I had gone into the house a short time ago, and looking up I saw the low-lying heavy clouds coming down from the north with undoubtedly more snow soon to fall. I decided to pull in more wood than I had first thought I would need, and turned to go back and get the large wicker basket by the stove. I took about 2 steps before stopping. Bill was standing at the corner with a poker in his hand watching me. Again, he told me it wasn't a deer he had seen. I resisted the urge to laugh at him and told him to grab some firewood while he was there and save me another trip into the cold. He didn't move. Annoyed, I asked him again to pick up some firewood and stop worrying. I had lived alone here for years and there was nothing to worry about. He still didn't move, and I turned to follow his gaze over my right shoulder into the back of the clearing behind. The tree line was about 50 yards to my rear, and to my surprise, the low-slung fir trees nearest to us swayed like a gentle breeze was moving through them. I shivered again, and this time it had little to do with the still night air. There wasn't a puff of wind, not even a hint of a breeze. The two of us stood there, Bill staring past me, still half turned with my neck straining to keep my eyes locked on the slowly moving branches. Bill had...
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Seen something, that was for sure. As if to confirm there was no wind, our breath fogged out between us, hanging in the still night air, and it lingered a long time without any air moving to help it dissipate. I turned back to Bill, and he took a step back, shaking his head. "That wasn't a deer, man," he said to me. "Deers don't grab branches by their hands to see more clearly." I said nothing and motioned for him to be quiet. Off to our right, I thought I could hear something moving quietly. A barely audible footfall. It would have been impossible to detect without the blanket of snow around us. Bill snapped his head left, looking at where I was now cocking my head to the side, straining to listen. It came again, a slow crunch of crunching snow. Something was attempting to be stealthy as it moved. It was a rhythmic, deliberate progression moving around the clearing's edge. I shuddered again. It felt like we were being flanked. I had no military experience, but it didn't take a genius to reason that it was now exactly what was happening to us. I shuddered again when I thought of the shape of the clearing and how the tree line was much closer to the front of the cabin than it was to the back. If we weren't quick, we would be cut off. I moved and pushed Bill into the chest ahead of me, urging him to get inside. The quick action made him jump and bring the poker up defensively, but he turned and ran ahead of me, hustling into the door and firmly shutting it behind me. I drew the bolt across it on the inside. It dragged in its bracket, grating noisily across, unused in years. Bill, taking position by the front window this time, crunching down, peering into the growing dark, and informed me it was snowing. A thick cloud of snow was now drifting down, fluttering slowly in the still air, our fogged breath still drifting past the window in the frozen air. I left the light off. For an age, we didn't move. We didn't speak. We just watched the snow fall until out of nowhere, there was a creaking noise outside from the direction of our trucks parked just under the trees out of our sight. We both jumped this time, and Bill tore his eyes away briefly to again tell me it wasn't a deer he had seen. It was a monster. He didn't elaborate and went back to his rigid stance, unblinking as he stared into the dark. I said nothing. I had no doubts. Bill was terrified and not the gullible type. If he said that he saw a monster, I didn't doubt something big and sinister was out there. The monster part didn't sit right with me, though. There were bears in the area, the less friendly brown type and the mountain lion, who favored attack from the trees. Which in my head made sense. I knew for a fact that we were without a firearm at this point as well. As I remembered, we had left them in the trucks earlier. This is home. It was safe. The doors were locked. There wasn't a need to panic. I felt panicked, though. I felt downright terrified as I stood watching the fogged breath drifting in long clouds, picking up the moonlight rising from behind the cabin. It was impossible to still have any trace left by Bill or I. It was coming in long-drawn breaths from something much larger than either of us. I shivered. maybe there was a monster out there. Bill turned to me and asked if I knew what it could be. I shook my head, still unable to speak. I motioned for him to stay quiet, and I started the creep to the window on the opposite wall to see if I could get a better angle of what was out there. The maths didn't make sense on paper, but if whatever was out there was as big as I suspected, I should have been able to see a small part of it. Even just enough to confirm that it was something living and breathing, and not just us losing our minds, or a buildup of carbon monoxide from a blocked chimney flue. I leaned forward, hesitant to get too close to the glass. Nothing. I pressed forward over the sink, only a couple of inches from the glass. Still, nothing. I tiptoed slowly and unwillingly pressed my cheek to the glass. Nothing. There was a blind spot of about 6 inches to the corner that I couldn't see. I stayed there for a few more seconds, listening, but there wasn't any noise. Bill whispered to get my attention, and then I turned. He was unmoved. Keeping a steady vigil at the front window, looking in the direction of the trucks, he waved me forward so I could join him, peeping up from the bottom as he was. He explained that he thought that there was more than one, that there had been a noise by the trucks, and almost at the same time, more movement by the trees at the other end of the area he was surveying. I looked at him. He appeared nervous, sweating a little despite the cabin temperature having fallen dramatically. He continued saying he felt sick, like there was something wrong with the situation, or the air, or him. I still couldn't speak. I felt like I had been struck dumb and silently agreed with a nod of my head. I felt exactly how he described. I suggested turning in for the night. He shook his head. Not a chance. Not when there was mystery afoot. He said I could if I wanted, that he would keep watch. I felt sheepish at the thought of leaving him and hiding under the blankets like a child afraid of the dark. But I figured we were in a secure cabin with thick walls, small windows, and a barred door. We were as safe as we could be if there was a large predator out there. So I left Bill where he was and I went to bed. I had no desire to mess with the unknown and didn't feel right about the situation. The daylight would bring more security and hopefully some answers. I laid awake for an age listening. No outside noises disturbed me, and every once in a while I thought I could hear Bill shifting a little, probably just keeping the circulation going in his legs while he knelt by the window. A few times, I heard a popping noise, possibly his knees, and finally a sleep washed over me, and I hovered at the edge of consciousness. I felt cold. At this point, the fire must have been completely gone out. I drew the covers over me tighter and succumbed to the call of slumber. With a jolt, I woke up, which felt like seconds later, my head still full of dreams of shapeless monsters, just out of sight in the tree line around the cabin. The roof, I called. I got no answer. It had come to me, whether in my dream or not, that whatever breath I had seen had been on the roof the whole time, breathing down and across. I jumped up, still clothed, and stumbled to the kitchen only to find why I had felt so cold. The cabin's door was open, and Bill wasn't there. It was at that moment I experienced a true cold. I had never felt anything like it. It ran from my feet to my scalp, prickling every inch of my skin. I felt goosebumps rise, though against my clothing, bitten by the cold draught from the open door. Where was Bill? I wondered. I stood for a long time, indecisive. My friend was out there. He had left the door open and was unarmed with large predators roaming around the outside unseen. What was he doing? I reckoned he couldn't have been scared if he had voluntarily ventured outside. There was no sign of damage to the door. No scuffle or mess to the snow out front. I could make out the path we had cut arriving through the front on arrival last night, the clearer footsteps along the side of the cabin, Hastily kicking about on our rush back after Bill noticed we weren't alone the night before and fresher, crisper footsteps of Bill's leading away to the tree line. These weren't snowed on and half covered like the other trails. They could have been minutes or hours old. I couldn't tell. I listened, particularly to the roof over me for some time, but all was calm. There was no sound, no wind, no bird song, nothing. Not unusual, not unsettling in the slightest. I looked at the mess of prints right at my feet and followed Bill's up to the tree line where they were lost to sight in the green fir. I fought the urge to follow them then and there and decided to get my heavier coat and, more importantly, a weapon from my truck. Pulling the door shut behind me, I took off, feeling better in the daylight but apprehensive about the situation in its entirety. I didn't know what was going on. I got to the truck and quietly...
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Circled them, inspecting the area. It seemed undisturbed. There were old bear tracks, days old on one side, and some fresher deer prints in between the two vehicles left earlier last evening, after our arrival, but nothing too untoward. I retrieved my gear and cut across the path behind the tree line, where I had found Bill's footprints again wandering off deeper into the trees. It was near dark underneath the cover. The large fir trees created enough shade and the snow gathered up on them knitted them tighter, creating the illusion of it being night still. Reassuring, but the hunting rifle I now carried, I called out to Bill twice, stopping to listen for a reply after each call. No response. Going deeper into the woods, I called again, stopping to listen but heard only silence. The trees felt like they were listening too, pressing in around me in the gloom. Friend, foe, or impartial, the thickening growth provided some cover to hide but in return held its own secrets. I was beyond shivering now. I felt electric, like I was drawing on some kind of energy borne by the cold air. In reality, I was running on nerves and worry. There was absolutely no sign of Bill, and there was a gnawing feeling in my stomach that had little to do with hunger. After an hour, I turned. Bill's footsteps continued further on into the hills starting to rise in front of me, and I was little prepared to press on without water, food, and shelter. I scooped up some fresh snow onto my way back to ease my parched throat. The cold kept me fresh and kept the worst of the thirst at bay. By the time I arrived back at the cabin, it was fully exposed to the daylight. The sun had crested the surrounding woods and neared its peak for the day. Brushing through the tree line into the clearing, I paused. It was still silent. What I could now see on the roof had stopped me. There were footprints all over the shallow angled roof, canine looking but stretched somehow, elongated. There were more concentrated patterns above the stack of firewood, and the front door like more time had been spent there. We hadn't lost our minds. There had been something stalking us the night before. There had probably been right overhead of us the whole time that we had been outside. I walked slowly to the door and realized I had raised the rifle and had my finger tight on the trigger without conscious effort. I was ready but wasn't sure for what. Arriving at the front door, I started to feel sick again. Thirst, maybe. It had been hours since I had drank, and it had been a few beers at that. Not ideal hydration in this circumstance. Looking at the door, I stopped dead in my tracks. It was slightly ajar. I backed up and to the side of the small steps and looking around, coming from the opposite side of all the tracks I had seen on my way out, was a fresh set of canine-like prints running directly into the mess of prints and packed icy snow at the doorstep. Something was in the cabin. As I thought it, the door was pulled open from the inside and Bill stood there, waving me to come in, smiling toothily. He waved for me to come in again, but it only had the opposite effect. It couldn't be. I had tracked his footsteps pretty far out, and there wasn't any evidence that he had returned. It wasn't Bill. Backing up slowly, I noticed Bill's smile started to deteriorate. It became more sinister, more akin to a dog baring its teeth. If he had started growling at that point, I would have felt no surprise. I kept backing up, not breaking eye contact with whatever was trying to smile and entice me into the cabin when the thought struck me. I heard Bill's voice float into my memory, theorizing that whatever he had seen last night wasn't alone. The thing in the doorway was beginning to look completely deranged now and quivering all over, like it was fit to burst out of its skin. I quickened my pace and threw a look over my shoulder to where I could see my truck. All clear, but when I looked back, the thing was in the same pose, but a great deal nearer. I was nearly running backwards now, afraid to look away in case if I turned back and be face to face with the thing pretending to be Bill and fumbling one hand, and I climbed into my truck. Right then, two things happened. I fired one shot into the thing's chest, center mass, as it leapt at me. As I opened the truck door, as it fell to the side, it screamed. An almost human sound, but wrong. Like it was too loud, too deep to have been Bill's voice. As the creature that wasn't Bill fell, another more monstrous type, dog-like beast reared up on the passenger side of the truck. At this point, the truck started, and I put it into its first gear, flooring it. The wheels spun, putting the truck free of danger, and I didn't take my foot off the pedal again until I put miles upon miles between me and whatever had tried to corner me in the woods that day. To this day, I haven't seen Bill nor returned to my cabin in those woods. I did report him missing, but I left out the part about shooting the Bill-like thing as it attacked me and its accomplices attempting ambush. I have spent time with his family, even attending the service that held on the one-year anniversary of his disappearance. But I feel like none but me will ever know, or believe, the truth, if I ever told it.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.